You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to the first edition of Paco Radio here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. My name is Nick Tavano, and I'm here today with Lou Toner, the president of Pasco Vale Football Club. Lou, welcome.
Thanks, Nick.
First show here, Paco Radio, first Pasco Vale Club show, and really excited to have you guys on board.
Yeah, we are too. We're excited to be here. It's we've been following your radio station for a while there, and a couple of the other clubs that have had shows on here, and you always look at it from afar and you think, how great's that? And then we're quite lucky. We've got an unbelievable person like Roustou Senol at the club that has helped make this happen. And from the club to him, we'd like to say a big thank you. He's just a genuine person that really is an amazing community contributor.
Yeah.
A person doesn't do it for any other reason but to give back to the community, and to be working with such a humble person like that, and to have someone like that at the club, it's been amazing for us. So, from the bottom of our heart, I mean, we've got some great sponsors, but he's definitely definitely a special person.
Oh, for sure. And for those obviously listening, this is the first ever episode. Yeah. So what we're going to do today is it's going to be almost, for those who don't know much about Pasco Vale or want to know a little bit more about Pasco Vale, almost like the beginner's guide to Pasco Vale. Yeah. Get to know the club a little bit. And then throughout the weeks, we'll start to bring some special coaches and people in from throughout the club. Obviously, let's start, Lou. Pasco Vale, what is it? I guess, tell us a little bit about the club.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to Josh outside, and the Football Belongs series, that's what we feel our club's all about. It's watching that from afar, our story is not too much different to that, And Pasco Vale was a club that was formed by some, immigrants, we're a bit unique because we've come from just a small town or a small village, as you like to call it, in Macedonia, Yugoslavia at the time, Macedonia, and it's called Nijopoli. It's a small little town, and a bunch of guys came out here, wanted to get the community together. Michael Puljevic and Chris and the Babo family and a few more others got together and started to form a club. And I said, well, we'll do what the others are doing and we'll start a club up. And 55 years later, here we are today. Talking on radio. From not having grounds, selling drinks out of Eskies and putting rope around grounds. Here we are today talking on radio about the club. So it's been a great journey.
Well, about the club itself, obviously they're NPL2 right now, but they've been in the top flight before of Victorian football, sort of yo-yo between leagues a little bit recently. Yeah. But, tell us a bit about the success of the club, sort of how high it's gotten and a little bit about what they've done.
Yeah, for many years we were in the provisional leagues and the state leagues for many a year until 2011 when we got promoted to the Victorian Premier League at the time and then become an NPL. Look, for me, I've grown up at the club, so a lot of those players in the provisional leagues and the state leagues were my favourite players of all times. Playing in the backyard, I would think I was one of those players. And that's what the club has meant to a lot of people. So for many years, like I said, we were in the state leagues and the provisional leagues. And since 2000, we started to really grow as a club. Since the year 2000, we got a real good thing happening with Moreland City Council, so we could grow, we could get some juniors. And then a couple of years there, I think it was the early 2000s, we were in the second division. We missed out on a couple of playoffs on penalties with Gianfranco and Pellizzeri coaching at the time. And then from that point in time, this is the later part of the history. And from that point in time, we got Luce Trani over in 2008 to coach the club, got promoted from the second division to the first division. Then, he went on to the A-League. And then we got Vitale and we got promoted in 2011. And, I have to mention, when you mention Pasco Vale, you have to mention Vitale's contribution to the club for many years, 10 years. And we're in the Victorian Premier League for eight, nine seasons. And we want to go back there. We believe we belong there. We believe we've got the infrastructure to go back up, stay up there. We're rebuilding our squad at the moment. We've got a youngish type of squad, a really exciting young squad. So it's pretty exciting where we're going as a club. Yeah, we've had a challenging 2-3 years for sure. But I think we're coming out of it pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, there was a period when you did say you were in the top division and there were a lot of sort of big name players that people remember, you know, their sort of NPL Victoria aficionados remember, you know, the likes of David Van Skip and Michael Ferrante as well. He spent quite a bit of time down there as well. You know, any other names, I guess, for those that sort of would know, you know, the big names have played there?
Look, it's, you know, when you talk about some of the best players at the club, those two would have to be definitely up there. But there was, there's a person that we've still got there at the moment who I personally myself rate as anyone, as good as anyone about at the club, you know, Adrian Tallarico.
Yeah.
Another one called Joseph Youssef. They're still at the club trying to get the club back up to where they belong. They were with us from the first division, got promoted, played many seasons there. Probably over the last, you know, all their years in the Victorian Premier League, they probably won most of the best and fairest and the runner-up because they're just unbelievable people. So they have to be mentioned at those levels. But Davey Van Skip, he was just on another planet. He could turn, you know, he was so important to the club for those years. But, you know, before that, we had some unbelievable players too. I mean, we had a guy called Daniel Trebuzio. You know, we signed him when we were in the third division in the state leagues, and he managed to get us promoted all the way up. He was with us getting us promoted all the way to the Victorian Premier League. You know, there's many, many unbelievable players that we had at the club over the years. I mean, I remember back in the day, we had the Lube Petrovskis. Lube Petrovski played in the National League for many years. We had Conor Pacinas coaching at the club. He was an ex-National League player. We've had just many unbelievable players at the club. You know, going back, there's a guy called Tony Centurino. Centurino used to score goals for fun. Bill Popovsky, Tony Ujanovsky. We've had some unbelievable players. For me, are at that same level as the Tallaricos, the Van Skips and what have you. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Well, I mean, the last couple of years, I guess, it's sort of, as you said, it's been tough. And I guess the one thing that everyone remembers a couple of years ago is the situation with Hakeem. And obviously now he's back, he's playing. I was lucky enough to actually call one of your games a few weeks ago against Lang Warren and seeing him play. Yeah. It's amazing to see he's back out there and sort of getting everything back on track. I guess, you know, how was that period, I guess, for the club and for yourself and for, you know?
Look, at the time, I think you're so heavily invested in it, you don't realise probably it probably did have an effect on the club. But for us, it was just about saving this person, you know. And that whole saga started from a text or a tweet, you know, that was there that was stuck in Thailand. You know, we started pre-season on the Tuesday. On the Wednesday, flew to Thailand with his wife, you know, for a bit of a honeymoon. On Thursday, he's been locked down. And then we find out that it could be extradited to Bahrain and then gone. Mm. And so there was no stopping. You know, we asked for some help. We called for some help, called the PFA, called Football Victoria, and they were unbelievable, those two organisations, you know. But it also must be said there's a lady called Fatima Yazbek and her husband at Golf Institute who are still fighting for people today. But Hakeem is lucky because he had sport behind him. Craig hopped on it and that's where it was. But there's a lot more people that aren't as lucky, you know. And sometimes you wish you could do more, but life just gets the better of you, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, that was such a big moment, not just for football, but for all of Australia. Yeah, you know, everyone was sort of rallying. You know, Craig Foster sort of, you know, as well, playing such a big part in it. And obviously such a great result in the end of that, you know, he was freed. And now he's back doing what he loves. He's back home. And that's sort of the great silver lining now out of all of it. And just we'll talk about the NPL team a bit later on as we go through it. But the team right now, NPL 2, David Schick, the coach of the side. You guys sort of in a decent position now for promotion before the lockdown hit. Yeah. Sort of tell us a bit about where that squad's placed right now and how you see yourself going for the rest of this year.
Yeah, it's a brand new squad. So we started the pre-season the year before lockdown. And it was very exciting. I mean, we kept about four or five of our NPL squad, you know, a couple of younger boys, you know. And we've signed some really exciting young talent, you know, Aidan Musadaganic, Nick Hatzigiorgiou, Ali Agan's come back from a couple of knee reconstructions, and we've got some really exciting young players, good footballers, unbelievable kids, committed, you know, and we've concentrated on trying to sign players on their way up, not on their way down. And that's been our motto at the moment. It's just to get players that are hungry, want careers in football, and if they can help us get to that level, that's what we really wanted. David Schick is a young coach, but he's a very good coach. There's no doubt about it. He's got the world at his feet, so to speak. He's starting his journey as a senior coach. I mean, he did a bit with Hume, but you know, this is probably one where he's trying to continue going forward. He's very modern. the football we're trying to play is a modern type of football. That's where we see the club going forward. And like I said, we do want to get promoted. That's our goal. That's our aim. We've got some really good players, you know, like Joseph Youssef, as I said, Adrian Tallarico. You know, we've got can't forget Attila Offaly, who's starting to score goals, starting to find his feet. We've got a guy called Scott Lockhead. Scott Lockhead is another gentleman that's come back from a knee reconstruction who's been through the youth ranks at Celtic and Glasgow. Very good player. We've got some really exciting prospects going forward.
Well, I mean, you can't miss Attila Offaly when he's playing. He's such a, you know, big character, big boy up front as well. Such a quick player, dynamic.
Yeah. He's also crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a bit of fire underneath him, and sometimes you need a bit of that, you know. It's a very physical league, a very tough league to get out of.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, last year was a tough year for all Victorians and all people around the world, really. And obviously there was no football played, for NPL2, there was no football players, four games played in the top division. But I guess when you look back at last year, you know, did you guys learn a lot as a club during that period? What did you guys do throughout 2020 to sort of keep, I guess, the cogs turning and everything like that?
Well, for us, it was a bit different because the last game in terms of senior football, the last game we had played was a relegation game. We'd got relegated, you know. We just got relegated. First time we'd been relegated in the club's history. You know, it did take a steady flow to get up there, but it's the first time we'd been relegated in the club's history. Where the year before we're in final series, you know, so it was a big sort of pill to swallow. But what we did do is we didn't wait. We quickly moved forward, you know, because what we have probably seen in the past that if you get relegated, you can start capitulating, and you've seen some unbelievably big clubs who were ex-National League clubs playing in the second, third division, you know. And that's not where we wanted to go. So the first thing we did was make sure that we tried to rebuild that squad up the tempo with our sports science and all that type of stuff. So we invested a lot in that type of stuff, bought some more portable goals and tried to really attract players by having the best possible football program we could have, you know. So that's what we had done there. Then we did get locked down. We were looking pretty good in the pre-season. We were pretty confident where we were going. But then we lost a few visa players in the process. So you can't really replace them and what have you. But then we got locked down. So what the club did end up doing is we entered a small partnership grant with Moreland City Council, I mean, to design and to renovate our club room. And we'd just gone and done that during lockdown. So at that time, we had an old sort of, this is at Hoskin Reserve, not CBS.
Yep.
Hoskin's our home base where our juniors play, our women play, and our seniors train. So that's our spiritual home. What we did was we ended up renovating, did a whole new cafe, set up a whole new cafe, you know, with amazing work from volunteers, sponsors chipping in, you know, and the club tipped in roughly about $150,000 of the club's money too to get this canteen up and running. It's something that we were really uncomfortable with for a very long time, and we ended up delivering a pretty good product there. We also renovated our change rooms. We did a lot of that during COVID, so when we did come out, it was all nice and fresh and going forward. We're quite lucky from our junior perspective where we kept in touch. We didn't lose many players. So our juniors were you know, we've come out of it with the same sort of numbers. Our NPL team's junior boys still strong. We've still got the same amount of women's at the club. We've managed to keep our women's team, which is, you know, it's something where we really need to improve that side of the club. Our under-20s are still strong. So we come out of it good, you know. Obviously, financially, it's, you know, sometimes I see some of the figures that are going around. I can't understand it. But financially, it is tough because we're not a club that has a benefactor, so to speak, and you know what have you. We're self sufficient, so whatever dollar comes in needs to be dissected, which I'm sure most clubs are like that. But we don't have a benefactor, so to speak. Sometimes those situations might be a little bit easier, but yeah, that's how we came out of it. So it's been good. A lot of things have come out of it. We did during COVID also get the Hoskin Reserve situation come up, you know.
But what we'll do is, Louis, we'll take a quick break. We'll jump into that Hoskin Reserve discussion. It's been something that's sort of lingered for a while now around Pasco Vale. Yeah. And we'll come back and dive into that in just a second. You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol here on FNR Football Nation Radio.